following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Milk and Sea Audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production, OTR Swag Cast.
And tonight we have Theater 5. Theater 5 was ABC's attempt to revive radio drama during the early 1960s. The series name was derived from its time slot, 5 o'clock p.m. Running Monday through Friday, it was an anthology of short stories, each about 20 minutes long. News programs and commercials filled out the full 30 minutes. There was a good bit of science fiction, and some of the plots seemed to have been taken from the daily newspaper. Fred Foy, of Lone Ranger fame, was an ABC staff announcer of the early 60s who, among other duties, did Theater 5. And now, enjoy the show.
What is this place? Where am I?
Like, turn it on, man. Keep dancing.
How did I get here? How?
Keep dancing, man.
What am I doing here?
Keep dancing, man. Keep dancing.
Theater 5 presents Discotheque.
Jenny! It's no use, Jenny. I know you're here somewhere. Jenny! Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. I'm trying to find my wife. I know she ran this way, and I... No, wait. Say, wait a minute. What all the nerve. Just ignored me and walked away. All the blazes with him. I've got to find her. Got to find my wife. Oh, excuse me, madam. Could you help me? I'm looking for a woman. Well, she looks more like a girl. My wife. You see, I'm sure you remember her if you saw her. She... Oh, please don't turn away like that. Look, here's my card. My name is Ralph Wilson. I'm an investment counselor, a respected man in my... Oh, please, listen to me. What? Oh, what's the matter with all of you? Where am I? What city is this anyway? I'm so confused. Jimmy! I insist that you answer me! Jenny! 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 I gotta slow down. I'm exhausted. Only I could find a cab or something. No cabs. No cars at all. Where am I? I don't recognize anything. Row after row of tall buildings, as far as your eye can see. All the windows, dark and lifeless. And these filthy, littered streets, completely empty. Oh, there's a little park over there. I'll sit down just for a second. I must sit down. Ah. Oh, that's better.
That's better. What a dreary looking park. Grass dead. No flowers. Junk and trash all over the place. Ugly, ugly city.
Hey.
Oh.
You got a match, man?
What?
Like a match, sweetie. You dig?
Young lady, who are you?
Shh. Cool it, man. They may be watching.
What are you talking about?
Cool it. You want some official to dig us making this scene together? Man, there's rules here.
Well, what rules? Where am I? What city is this?
Oh, man. Like, I gotta split this place.
Oh, you come back here. I insist.
Don't you touch me.
Shh. Oh.
Watch the contact.
My hand. It's burned.
Square.
What happened? I only touched you and...
Oh, man, you don't dig, do you?
Dig?
No contact. No communication. Like the rules.
What rules? Who makes them?
Oh, man, like you don't make this scene regular, do you?
Well, I'm a stranger around here, if that's what you mean.
A stranger. This cat found herself a stranger. Like right off the boat from Nowheresville.
I don't understand.
Like you're my ticket, Tiger. You're my one-way ticket. Like out of this scene. Like a chick finds herself a square that don't belong. She can maybe cut out. Split.
What?
Escape. You dig?
Young lady, you've got the wrong ideas about me.
Like I got a lot of ideas. My name's Wilma.
No, you don't understand. You see, I'm looking for my wife. Perhaps you saw her. She's a beautiful girl with long golden hair. She's a good deal younger than I am. I'm sure you remember her. She's a dancer. Well, what I mean to say, she always wanted to dance. You see, when she married me, I insisted that she forget all of... Oh, well, that's not important. What happened was that we had difficulties. You see, she ran away, but I found her, and I was bringing her back when... Well, I don't know. Suddenly, there was a terrible, terrible confusion. And she ran away from me again. I tried to follow, but... Somehow, I lost her. However, I'm certain she's here someplace.
Hey, Tiger. You, like, forget that blonde chick. You got little old Wilma cat now. Man, it's getting dark. We could, like, split this scene so easy.
Get away from me.
Cool it.
I want nothing to do with you, do you understand?
Like anything you say. You're blowing solo on this set, man. Only
what?
Like I just might know what scene a certain chick with long golden hair is making.
Ginny, you know where Ginny is? Now tell me.
This cat don't sing for free.
All right, what do you want?
Like when you take this chick back, you take me too.
Take? Well, that's impossible.
Like no deal? So long, swinger.
No, wait, come back. All right, it's a deal. I'll take you back with me. Now... Where is she?
Dancing.
What?
Dancing. Over at Nick's place.
Nick's place?
Yeah, where the action is. Chicks like this Ginny always make it at Nick's.
Who's Nick?
He's the man, Tiger. And the man sits up on the platform and he spins the records. And that beat just goes on and on.
Beat?
Nick's got himself a discotheque now, man. A swinging discotheque.
Discotheque? One of those crowded, jet-set dance halls? I never go to such places.
You want
to
locate your chick? You're going to make that scene.
Oh, very well. Take me there. But I insist that you be quick about it.
Like, wow. Come on. You follow behind me like you didn't know me, but had ideas.
What? What?
Nobody communicates around here. But, like, we all got ideas. Like, that's the lead sheet. Like, that's the whole point. You dig?
What kind of a place is this? That music, it's enough to blast out your eardrums. The heat. And smoke. Where's Ginny?
She'll show. Come on, Tiger. Turn it on. You're supposed to dance here. It's the rule.
Dance? You call that dancing? Everybody writhing their bodies about? like tortured animals groping through a fog of heat and smoke, moving alone as if each were in his own little agonized world. Why, it's indecent. And do they have to play the record so loud? Music blocks out everything. Thought, emotions, memory, everything.
Why, man, this is like where the action is.
Who's that fellow playing the records over there? I swear I've met him someplace.
Like that's Nick himself.
Perhaps he could help me. Excuse me, sir.
You mean me, Clyde?
You know, I believe we've met someplace.
Like I'm Nick, Clyde. Like everybody knows Nick.
My name's Ralph. Ralph Wilson. You see, say, could you turn down the music a bit?
Clyde, you just don't dig.
I beg your pardon?
Like welcome to Nick's discotheque, Clyde. Like it's the in-type scene to make down these parts.
These parts?
Where are we? Clyde, you find out for yourself.
Go, 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 go.
How long?
Go.
How long
go.
Does this continue?
It just goes on, man. On. And on.
Oh, this searing heat. And the smoke. The hideous, cacophonous music. It's appalling.
Yeah? That's why you and me gonna split this scene. Gonna split for good. Come on, Tiger. Take me away from here. Old Nick ain't looking now. Take me back for good.
No. Until I find my wife. I've got to find Jenny.
I suppose your chick don't want to go back, man. What's the action then?
I'd want to go back. Why, I force her.
Like, wow. Tiger man strikes again.
You see, I do not tolerate disobedience. Jenny is a very weak-willed person. I've always had to make decisions for her. Why, she even tried to call off our wedding at the last minute. But I was firm.
Like, wow.
You see, my mother had planned a beautiful ceremony and reception for us. Jenny's parents are dead.
Man, like you got a mother-type character making the scene, huh?
My mother is a very fine woman. She's widowed. She lives with us. I don't know what I'd do without her.
Like that's why this Jenny chick cut out on you, huh?
Of course not. Jenny's a child. A selfish, immature, beautiful child woman who needs to be guided. Controlled. I've had to push her into everything. Everything. Why, even buying a permanent home, can you imagine she wanted the two of us to live alone in expensive hotel rooms like a couple of gypsies? Oh, yes, romantic nonsense. Why, she didn't even want to have a child.
Man, this chick, she's got a kid?
We have a son, Robbie. He's 3 years old.
Man, like a chick's got to be pretty low to put out on her own kid. No wonder she's making this scene.
Well, what's being here got to do with that?
Like everything, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing. This Ginny chick. She ran off with some other cat?
No, nothing like that.
Like, I'm sorry I asked.
Well, yes. Yes, there were other men. All the disgrace, I terrible disgrace. Everybody knew, my friends, my poor mother.
Let Jenny go, man. Let that sad little chick go.
No, I know what's right for her. For us. No one else can have her. She's mine. I'll make her come with me if I have to force her. If I have to beat her. What's the matter? Why are you staring at me like that?
Just wondering, man, why you ain't here yourself. Permanent.
What?
Oh, turn it on, man. Keep dancing.
Where is she?
She'll show.
Oh, I was so close to finding her. So close to having her for good. And then something happened. If only I could remember. I was so close. Only 3 hours and 15 minutes away. I remember saying that.
Huh?
I remember. Wait a minute. That's it. 3 hours and 15 minutes. That was the time it was going to take for our journey home. Yes. Yes. Now I remember. It was a sunny, beautiful day. And the ground swept away from us as we soared upward. And then it clouded over, but the plane finally broke through the heavy overcast and we were landing.
Turn it on, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing.
And then, yes, it's all coming back. Suddenly the plane dropped. As if it were pulled down by some evil giant. I remember thinking that. And there was a horrendous noise. Oh, no. The screams. The people. The flames. And I called her name. Jenny. Jenny.
Turn it on, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing.
And then I saw her in the flames. And she laughed at me and started running. And I followed her. Jenny! Jenny! Oh, no.
Like now you're starting to dig, man.
Jenny, he's dead. You're all... And this place that I followed her to, this is... No!
Something bugging you, Clyde?
Nick?
Yeah. You got the message, Clyde.
Jenny, where are you, Jenny?
Like, is that the chick you're trying to find? Over there?
Where?
Like over there, Clyde. Way over where I'm pointing. See, through the heat and the smoke? You see? Dancing all alone? Like she's making it solo?
Jenny! Jenny! Jenny, I've got to get you out of here. Jenny, speak to me.
Do I know you, mister?
Jenny, stop dancing like that, I insist. You're my wife, and I'll not have you making those vulgar gyrations.
I never saw you before, mister.
That dance, that indecent, obscene, lonely dance. Stop it!
I can't, mister. Please, go away.
You better stop bugging this chick, Clyde. This chick ain't having nothing but the big beat.
I can't believe it.
That's the way it is, Clyde. That's the way it is.
I see. And this is what it all comes down to, man. A sweltering discotheque. And a dance that never ends.
That's the way it is, Clyde. Like old Mick. He never runs out of records.
It never ends. Not for all eternity. The beat keeps going. And the bodies continue to move, writhing, grasping, and all the time desiring, but there's no contact. That's the punishment, isn't it? No human contact.
Like, if you never made it back there, Clyde, you don't expect to make it here.
Well, I'm getting out.
Oh, you want to split, Clyde? So split. You'll be back sooner or later.
No, never. I'm getting out of here, and I'm never coming back. Jenny, take my hand.
Clyde. Like the chick stays.
I'm taking her with me.
Like the chick stays.
Get out of my way. I've got my hands on you now, Jenny. You're mine.
My hands. My arms. They're on fire. I'm burning.
Like the chick stays.
Oh. No, I won't release her. She's mine.
Burning.
Like the chick stays.
Burning.
Burning.
Oh, he's in pain, Doctor. My poor darling son is in pain.
Mrs. Wilson, please. We're doing all we can to make him comfortable. He's delirious. The poor man thinks he's in hell or something.
Burning.
He's still feeling the flames from the crash. Well, the important thing is that we've pulled him through. He'll live.
Live? But what kind of a life will it be, so terribly scarred and burned? Oh, if only he didn't try to go back for her.
Mrs. Wilson, she was his wife.
She was a hussy, a no-good hussy who obsessed my darling boy. Well, she got what was coming to her. Was there any chance of saving her?
No. She died instantly.
Burning.
There. There, my darling.
Burning.
You still have your mother. I'll always look after you.
No, I think we'd better leave him. I'll let you know the minute he regains consciousness. Oh, Miss Barrows. He's still delirious, but there should be no further trouble through the night. I want you to stay close to him.
Yes, sir.
This way, Mrs. Wilson.
Burning. Burning. Burning.
Cool it, Tiger. Burning. Listen to Nursie and cool it.
You. Go away. Go away.
Oh, no. You ain't never going to shake me, swinger. So you better cool it while you still can. Because someday you're going to make that discotheque scene again. And old Nick, he's got lots of records all lined up for you. You dig?
Has presented Discotheque, written by Romeo Muller, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, George Petrie, Evelyn Juster, Larry Haynes, Constance Parker, Ethel Rennie, and Jeff David. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Ted Bell. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production. Theater 5 presents Fog.
You'd have Doctor, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. But why? It's Saturday. Harry. Harry. He's coming to pick up Anne. All this fog. Let me get up. Help me. Get up.
Oh, how many of those pills did you take?
Oh. Mom, can I come in?
What? Oh, yes. Oh, oh, Anne, must you slam the door, darling?
I'm sorry, Mommy. I've been waiting for Daddy. When will he get here?
I don't know.
He's taking me to the country.
Now, don't get so excited or you'll bring on one of your headaches.
I don't care.
Well, I do. It's agony.
I've got a little one already.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't let it get worse. Oh, you'll have to take those tablets with you.
You sleepy?
Terribly. Tell Mrs. Raines I'd like some coffee.
Why are you sleepy?
Hand me my robe, please.
Mommy, why are you so sleepy?
Because I'm tired, Anne. I'm tired. Oh, why do you have to ask so many questions?
Sorry?
Now, will you ask Mrs. Raines for the coffee, please?
Oh! I shouldn't have snapped at her. But why does she have to know everything about me? To this generation. The doctor said those headaches of hers were migraine. That's ridiculous, a child her age. Harry will be annoyed too if she has one today. Oh, my head feels as though it were stuffed with cotton. Why can't I wake up?
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Raines.
Good morning. I brought the coffee. I thought you might need it.
Oh, yes.
Is there anything else I could do to help?
No, thank you.
Very well.
She is the most insinuating woman. Oh, oh, I've got to take something for this. Where is that Benzedrine? I had to have some here someplace. Oh, here. Better take two. Oh, you look awful. What did those sleeping pills do to your eyes? Oh, some ice would help. Maybe there's some cubes in the bucket left from last night. Just a minute. That was last night. Well, of course it was last night. Who's here? Al Kemble. We talked about publicity for his book. What time did he go home? Oh, good grief. He did go home, didn't he? Anne?
Yes, Mommy?
Are you alone, dear?
Mrs. Raines is here.
All right, it's nothing. You can never tell about Al. Let's see, what was I doing? Ice. I think we left the bucket in it's over here. Well, that's enough. Look at your hand shake. It's that Benzedrine. Well, who left this? A full glass of liquor. Well, after all, it isn't as though you were pouring a fresh one, and you've got to do something about your hands. Oh, but don't drink it here. Now, why do I have to hide things in my own house? If I need something to pull me out of this, it's my business, isn't it? There. Let them try to get in now. I wish I could get rid of that Mrs. Raines. I've got to have somebody to take care of Anne. She's such an austere woman. She lies about me, too. Better splash some water on my face. Ah, that's better. Now that pep-up pill. Well, have a drink. That'll help.
Mommy?
Yes?
I've got a headache. Can I have a pill?
Oh, just a minute. Just...
pour this drink in the sink. Just a minute. Come in, dear. I'll find them.
They're in a white box.
Yes, I know.
Honey, why is this ice in the sink?
Ice?
Uh-huh. Did you have a drink?
Certainly not.
Then what's it for?
It's for complexion, Anne. Ice is very good for your skin. It tightens the tissues.
Oh. Oh, gee, Mommy. I hope I grow up to be as pretty as you.
Here. Take this.
Right.
And remind me to give you the box when you leave,
Mommy?
Hmm?
Will you and Daddy ever get married again?
No.
Why?
Questions. Questions. Over and over. Because, my dear child, we hate each other. No, it isn't that. It isn't hate. It's just nothing. So much of everything turns into nothing. Why? We had something in the beginning, I think. Didn't we?
Donna?
Oh, well, Harry, you startled me.
Let's get away from here, shall we?
Well, aren't you the naughty one?
You'll never know standing here.
Oh, I know, all right. Something happens whenever I'm near you. I don't understand it.
Do you have to?
I guess not. I just know you make me go limp.
Sounds promising.
But it makes me feel like a fool.
Well, let's just see how foolish you can be.
Oh, Harry.
Will you marry me?
Well, now that's really foolish.
No, it's elementary. Every stout-hearted man in that room wants you. So do I, but not to share. I'm selfish.
I'm glad.
Will you?
Yes.
Let's go now.
All right.
I wonder how late Al stayed last night. It's an awfully good book he's written. He's a talented man. I should have known that a long time ago. Oh, why did I throw that drink away? My head feels like a block of granite. Well, what are you going to do about it? Let a child and a housekeeper intimidate you? This is your house. If a drink is what you want, then get a drink. Openly. Don't pick up the dregs of last night. I know where I can get one, too. There's a bottle behind the towels in the linen closet. I put it there when Mrs. Raines wasn't looking. Has she taken it away? Oh, no, here it is. Well, drink it here and put it back, quickly.
Mommy!
Don't come upstairs! What is it?
Harry's here! Harry, Daddy!
Hello, Button, how are you?
Harry, is that you?
Hello, Donna. Got a kiss for me, beautiful?
Always.
She almost makes my day begin.
Oh, Daddy!
Listen to him. But it's a beautiful day for the country.
You know, Button, she hasn't changed in 10 years. Prettier.
Gee, Daddy, if you both feel that way, why'd you get divorced?
Go get your prescription, Anne.
All right.
Has she got another headache?
Oh, it isn't bad.
Well, how can that child have migraines?
I don't know. The doctor says it might be emotional. But for heaven's sake, what problems could she have? I give her everything.
I know. You're not bad with her.
Well, anyway, just be sure she gets one of the tablets every 2 hours. You may have to give her more. The doctor said as many as 3 in an hour if she really needed them.
I'm ready.
All right, Button, we're off.
Bye, Mommy.
Bye, dear.
Oh, how did I live through that with this anvil in my head? I wonder if you saw my hands. I kept them in the pockets of my robe. If I could just get Mrs. Raines out of here, I could sit down to a civilized drink and collect myself. What do you mean, if? It's your house, isn't it?
Mrs. Raines?
Yes? Did you call?
Yes, there's really nothing to do here with Anne gone today. Why don't you take the day off?
Oh, well, thank you. That would be nice.
I'm going up to dress.
Where's that bottle? Ah, here it is. Has she gone? Oh, thank heaven. Oh, that ought to do something. Her hands are still shaking. One more. If that doesn't work, you'd better take another phenobarb and go back to bed. Sleep it off.
Going in circles, you know that. Wait. Somebody's coming this afternoon. Who? Oh, Al. He wanted to bring a friend. A girl who writes brilliant short stories. Well, I know what kind of stories she writes. Well, I don't need them. I don't need him. I don't need anybody. Oh, Donna, come on, come on. Maybe we better have some coffee. And then for heaven's sake, take a sleeping pill and wake up new again, will you?
Dr. Werner. She was supposed to have seen you this morning? Oh, for heaven's sake, it completely slipped my mind. Well, she was feeling so well, I sent her off for the weekend. Well, yes, she had a slight one, but she's just a child. What could a psychiatrist do for her? For me? Dr. Werner, I'm a hard-working woman, and what I choose to do is my business. Goodbye. What is the matter with that man? I'm not his patient. And what an absurd thing to say. Now, where are those sleeping pills? With everything closing in, I've got to calm down. I've just got to. I better take two. Well, it's just as well you didn't get dressed. You can lie down and rest till 5, and then have a martini.
Oh, those drinks have given me a headache. Psychiatrist. I'm overworked, that's all. I'm nervous. By incompetent whether I drink or not. Besides, everybody in the office drinks. No, maybe not in the morning, but I never did either until weekends are the worst. I seem to lose control when I'm alone. Oh, why don't those pills work? I'm not even drowsy. Maybe another drink would help. Oh, don't get up so suddenly. That hammering. I better take another pill instead.
Where are they? Well, these aren't my... Oh, no. These are Anne's migraine tablets. She's got the sleeping pills. If she takes that many... Where did they go, did he say? I asked Anne. Oh, Donna, you fool. Try to remember. Where did she say they were going? Oh, come on, get out of this fog. Where? Where did they go? Anne's diary. Maybe that'll say. It's in her room. Oh, where did they go? Where is it? Where is it? I've got a... Oh, here it is. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Mommy was up late last night. She didn't kiss me. I'm going with Daddy today. But where, Anne? Where? Where? I've got to go back and get a drink. I've got to think. I've got to remember. Here it is. One drink will be... The doctor. Call him. Find out about Anne. Find out about Anne. Phone here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello? Dr. Werner. This is Anne's mother. I'm sorry about hanging up, but I need some information. My little girl, she may have taken some sleeping pills. Oh, I don't know how many. 5, 6, or 7 or what? What? Oh, no. No, could it? Thank you. What time is it? Did I sleep? Is it still morning? Come on, I've got to wake up. I've got... Now, where did I leave that drink? How could I misplace it? I left it right here. I need this to steady my nerves. Wait a minute. What if you black out? What will happen to Anne? What will happen to Anne? You can't have another drink! Stop it, Donna. You revolt me. That's the best thing you've done all day. Now, try to think clearly. In the first place, Harry would call if she'd taken any. He'd know something was wrong. But suppose he thought she was only sleepy, or that the headache was doing it. Would he give her more? Oh, yes, 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 he might. And she'd try not to show it. She loves Harry, so she wouldn't want to miss the weekend. Oh, maybe that's... Hello? Hello? Oh, please get off the phone, Al. I can't talk to you. I've got to keep the light open. No, I can't see her. I can't see anyone. Now, will you please get off this phone? Oh, dear heaven. Oh, dear. Mrs. Raines. Her number's right here. We'll call her. She might know where they went. 5, 6. Harry may have told her where they were going. Maybe Anne did. Oh, oh, please answer, Mrs. Raines. Please, Mrs. Raines. I need you. Please answer, Mrs. Raines. Oh. Police. Police, I've got to go to them. But what can they do? Oh, never mind. You need help. They could stop cars, broadcast a description, call other police, and... I'll need you. Yes? Hospital? Hospital? Anne? Yeah. What about her? Oh, no! 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 No!
Hi, Mommy.
Anne.
You look sleepy. Did you take one of those pills last night?
Yes, I did. Oh, Anne, come here, come here, come here.
Presented Fog, written by Richard McCracken and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Vicki Vola, Evelyn Juster, Mary Michael, and Stan Watt. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Listen, you. You, whoever you are. I ain't never held a gun to no man in my life. I never had that kind of nerve. Never shot even a jackrabbit. But I can feel my nerve now. And I'll pull this trigger if you don't do exactly like I say.
Theater 5 presents Incident at Shadow Valley.
Hope you ain't fussy, Jocko. Them hash browns got a little burnt tonight. Got a lot on my mind. Ralphie, you know, my little grandson, he's been poorly all day, and Nellie's had to attend him. And the road trail people are pulling the bus stop from me. They say I gotta have two toilets. I ain't finished paying for the first one. Well, here's your coffee.
Yeah, thanks.
Tomorrow night I'll do better, Jocko. Give you a real good feed. That'll be 85 cents.
All right.
Evening, Jocko. Oh. Pop, I gotta talk to you.
Ralphie?
Oh, Pop, I don't think he'll make it. Not even through the night. Oh, if only he wouldn't talk about dying. I can't stand to hear him talking about dying. Maybe the doc can do something.
I know. Well, go call the doc, Nellie.
You don't mind? I mean about the bill.
When it comes to debt, a couple more pebbles don't make the mountain look any bigger. Take a dime from the cash register.
Clara, this is Nellie at the Last Chance Diner. Get me Doc Landers and Las Flores. No, not good at all tonight, Clara. Oh, well, I'll call a little later. Doc Landers ain't in, Pop. Here's the dime. I'm going back to the shack.
Hey, what's all that?
Doug McCloud. Looks like he's stopping here, Pop. Look, I'll be with Ralphie. See you, Jocko.
Yeah.
Hi, Doug.
Evening, Pop.
Why all the sirens, Sergeant?
Accident, 20 miles east. Truck coming this way forced a passenger car off the road.
Oh, darn shame. Anybody hurt?
Driver killed. The rest shook up.
Darn shame.
Big black truck with a sign. Universal Road Freight.
Universal Road Freight?
Did it stop here?
No, sir. Universal Road Freight. Never heard of it.
I must have passed, Pop. There's no turnoff, less than I missed him or he went out on the flats.
Not likely.
I'll keep an eye out, Pop. Maybe you'll catch him.
Not me. I ain't going to tangle with a trucker. My tangling days are over, Doug.
Well, you got a gun, ain't you? If he shows up, hold him and call the state police at mineshaft. Okay?
No, sir, Doug. I wouldn't touch that gun no more than a rattler. I ain't going to tangle. That's your job. I got mine. See ya. Guy got killed by a truck, Jocko.
Mm.
Darn shame. Here's your meatloaf, Harry.
Oh, thanks, Pop. My wife says I shouldn't eat meatloaf. It gives me gas. But I love it.
Hot roast beef sandwich, Jim.
Thanks, Pop. Where's Nellie? I'll pass the ketchup, Harry.
Yeah.
Nellie's busy out back. Ralphie's poorly.
Yeah, poor kid.
You from California this trip, Harry?
Yeah, mixed freight for KC.
Seeing that you was coming from the west, I wondered whether you saw a black truck along back. Highway patrol was chasing it.
I saw a cop doing about 80, but I didn't see no black truck, Pop. You, Harry?
Uh-uh. And I keep my eyes on the road, not like you, Jay.
Truck was from Universal Road Freight. Black truck.
Never heard of the outfit. You, Harry?
Maybe an independent. What do the cops want?
They said this black truck deliberately forced a passenger car off the road on purpose. Driver was killed. Darn shame. Coffee, Harry, Jim?
Regular.
Yeah, one light, one regular.
About that accident, they always blame the truckers. My wife says that the average trucker who knocks off maybe 100,000 miles and more per each year can't help but be a better driver than some Joe Blow who does maybe about 10. And it stands to reason, Jim.
Yeah.
Does it, fellows?
I beg your pardon?
What I meant was,
Not everything is run according to reason.
Who asked you, buddy?
Nobody. But I couldn't help hearing what you said.
Buzz off, mister, will you? You're bugging me and my pal.
Now, leave him alone, Jim.
Well, gents, anything else I can get you?
Sure, some privacy.
Knock it off, Jim.
How about you, mister? You want some?
Not yet. Maybe later. I have plenty of time.
Like I was saying before I was interrupted, my wife says to me, Harry, she says, how many drivers have a record like you? 1,000,000 miles in just over 8 years without a scratch.
Hey, I didn't know that, Harry. That's a real record.
Did you ever hear the expression, pride goeth before a fall?
He's here again, Harry.
Look, mister, I heard the expression, but I also know that I have a 1,000,000-mile safety record, and I'm proud of it. And I don't care who knows it.
1,000,000 miles. Very impressive.
That's right. 1,000,000 miles. When I'm through with this run, that is.
Oh, I see. You don't have it yet.
Well, no. I mean, well, not yet, but almost. Like 27 miles outside of Oklahoma City, I figured... Well, no, I don't have it now, sure, but by tomorrow morning...
Cut it out, Harry. You don't have to apologize to this creep. 1,000,000 miles. That's an accomplishment.
It would be.
Come on, Harry, let's get out of here. Pop, the checks.
Check? No cake, no pie, no ice cream? How come you're in such a hurry?
I'll see you some other time, Pop. There's $1.25.
$1.10 for me. So long.
So sure. Pop, I'll have coffee now. Black.
Look, mister, take your business someplace else. You chase away my best customers. You sit around and then order coffee.
Beat it. Vamoose.
Coffee. Black. You've got to serve me.
Go somewhere else.
I've decided to remain here. And whenever I'm on my run, I'll come in here if I wish. You understand? And as for Harry and Jim, if I don't meet them here, I'll meet them someplace else. That's the way it's going to be. Another cup of coffee, Pop. Black and fresh this time.
I serve what I serve, mister.
Fresh.
Look, mister, I've been working for pretty near 24 hours steady. My head is full of troubles. Don't try my patience. You chased all my customers away. I'm going to close up tonight. I can't make it till morning.
I'm staying. Last Chance Diner, it says. Shadow Valley, Arizona. Open 24 hours. That's a contract. Coffee. Black.
After this customer. Jim, how come you came back?
Bob.
You forget something?
Harry. He lost control of his truck. Right ahead of me. On Three Mile Hill. He's dead. Killed.
1,000,000 miles, but not quite.
Are you still here?
Who are you, mister, anyway?
A truck driver. Janice is my name. Mr. Janice. I drive for Universal Road Freight.
Sounds dead. Can't do nothing until the telephone line's fixed, Jim.
Why does it have to be dead just now?
That is what people always ask about death, whether it's a telephone or a man.
Janice, will you get lost?
What you all forget is that death is an incident of life.
Man, I met some crazy truck drivers in my life, but you're the end.
I have heard that before.
You're going to hear a lot more, Mr. Janice, if you don't keep your nose out of other people's business.
My nose is everywhere, Pop, isn't it?
You are going to hear some things you don't want to hear, fella.
Like what?
Like the police are looking for you, that's what.
Oh?
Yes, oh. For forcing that car off. And they got a pretty good description of you, Mr. Janice. Doug McLeod went up west looking for you.
Do you think he'll find me there?
He'll find you when he comes back.
Suppose I go east.
You wouldn't get very far, would he, Jim?
Not in this country. There's just one road for 75 miles, straight as a ruler and flat as a pancake, except for Three Mile Hill.
East or west? That's your only choice. As a matter of fact, I hadn't intended moving at all, Pop. I'm staying here. What do you have for dessert?
I got nothing, Mr. Janice. That's what I got. Nothing. This is a house of trouble, mister. A man, a good customer, and a good friend. A good man has just been killed. My own grandson is struggling in the shack out back, struggling for breath. Struggling to live out the night. And all you can think about is your belly.
Why not? I see death wherever I go. And so do you. Funeral homes, cemeteries, accidents, wars and headlines of wars. Murder and the wanton taking of human life through ignorance and poverty and hatred. But you don't care. You ignore it until it strikes close to you. And then you want the world to stop to pule with you, to cry in universal condolence. Otherwise, you don't give a thought to death, which is an ever-present fact of life. You picnic in the cemeteries of the world.
Hey, what are you, some kind of nut? Making speeches in a diner?
The last chance diner.
Ah, shut up. You give me the willies, talking like that to me with my buddy lying out there in the dark, smashed to pieces in his crumpled cab. Just like you kind of predicted when we were jawing about the million miles. Janice, I want you to know right now, I think it's your fault. You made him nervous, jumpy.
Perhaps.
I'm going to see that you get up for what you did to Harry. I'll get your license picked up, so help me if it's the last thing I do.
Pop, we just got to reach Doc Landers. Ralph, he's feeling something awful. He's getting blue and breathing so hard. So
phone's out, Nellie. We've been trying to reach the police.
Police?
Accident, Nellie. My buddy Harry got himself killed.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Oh, Pop, I just got to get the doc. No two ways about it. What am I going to do?
Maybe the phone will be back.
Ralphie was bad enough, but then he took a turn for the worse just after the midnight rush started. It was just like death came in the door, Pop. I could almost feel it.
Nellie, leave me take my truck. I'll find your doctor. What's his name?
Oh, Dr. Gus Landers, Jim.
I'll get him, Nellie. Don't you worry yourself.
I'm going back to Ralphie, Pop. Please come up. Close up and stay with me. I don't want to be alone. I'm scared.
Couple of minutes, Nellie. We'll pray, Nellie. We'll pray together. That's what we'll do.
We'll do that, Pop. We gotta do something.
You there, Mr. Janice. You heard what my Nellie said.
I heard her.
Well, you ain't doing nothing about it.
I'm doing all that I intend to do.
What you intend and what's gonna be is two different things.
Straight. I was about to tell you that.
What the Sam Hill are you talking about?
Your grandson. Your daughter says he's dying. You intend to pray him back to life.
That's exactly what I intend to do just as soon as you get.
What makes you think I'm leaving?
Because I'm closing up. And I'm not going to leave you sitting here neither. Mister, out. Oh, come on, Janice, have a heart. I don't know where you was raised or how, but didn't nobody ever tell you to be respectful of people's feelings? Yeah, I guess not. I never seen a man so ugly. Not in my whole life.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm all for the truckers. A decent bunch of fellas that I ever saw. But not you. I could believe what Doug McLeod said. You could force a car off the road just from plain ugliness. If my telephone was working, I'd call mine shaft and tell him to come pick you up.
The telephone isn't working, so I stay safe and snug in the last chance diner.
Telephone ain't working, but this gun is. Now stand up.
Your hands are shaking. Put it down.
Stand up, Mr. Janice. Yeah, that's better. You with your fathead speeches of death. How does it feel to face your own?
Are you really interested?
No. Not in you, in my grandson.
I tell you, mister, I never held a gun to no man in my life. I ain't got that kind of nerve. Never shot even a jackrabbit. But I feel my nerve now, and I'll pull this trigger if you don't do exactly like I say.
Do you know what you're doing, old man?
I know my grandson needs me. I know I don't want you hanging around no more. So you're going to get on your truck and head west where Doug McLeod can collar you. You've done enough for tonight.
Perhaps you're right.
Keep moving. Walk straight to your truck, Mr. Janis. Now, climb up. Get your motor started and head west. Get the lead out of your pants, Mr. Janis, or I'll put more in. Nellie.
Shh. He's asleep. He's breathing right easy and regular. Don't make no noise. I want him to sleep. Pop, now, when that truck drove off, Ralphie took a turn for the better.
Yeah, when the truck left. I know.
Yeah. I heard you shout, Pop. What were you shouting for?
That fella wouldn't leave. But I made him.
Queer-looking geezer. We're clear of him.
You say that again. I'll go tidy up and wait for Jim and the doctor. Oh, Jim! You get the doctor?
I call him Pop from Ernie's Grill up the road. Doc can't come right away. He's that busy tonight with sick and dying people. What do we tell Nellie?
The boy's a little better. He'll last.
Oh, good. That character he left, huh? That pest, Janis?
Yeah. Made him head west so Doug McLeod could net him.
Bet he's got him now.
I sure hope so. He can't get away, not in these parts. Imagine me holding a gun on him. I'm still shaking, but I'm glad I chased him. So mean.
Hey, that's Doug McLeod. What's he stopping here for?
Search me. I sure don't want that Janis in here again.
Pop, any sign of that truck?
You're kidding, Doug. I sent him up west 5-10 minutes ago. You must have passed him. Fella named Janis, an ugly, mean fella. You know, I think he done it, that accident.
You sent him? I haven't passed anyone for 15 miles. How do you get here, anyway? And before, I checked every truck coming this way.
Pa, got some juice or a soda? Ralphie asked for a drink for the first time since morning. He's better, Pop.
Nellie, I couldn't bring the doctor.
Oh, but... thanks, Jim. But I think he's on the mend. Ever since that truck left.
That's it. That's the reason. Because I threw him out.
What's all this, Pop? You threw who out?
Janis. I couldn't stand him. He gave Nellie the creeps and scared Harry to smash in the truck. Nobody wanted him.
What the heck are you talking about, Pop?
That fellow with the truck. The black. You were looking for him, and you couldn't find him east nor west. And I know why. Because he came from nowhere. And he went nowhere. And wherever he went, he brought mortal trouble. But when he tried to stay at my place, I fought with him. Nellie heard me.
Yeah, that's right.
I fought with him, and I won. Doug, Jim, Nellie, listen to me. Now I know. Tonight, I fought with the angel of death.
Presented Incident at Chateau Valley, written by Raphael David Blau and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, John Gibson, Jackson Beck, Arlene Walker, Robert Dryden, George Petrie, and Richard Hurd. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production. Theater 5 presents The Hunters.
It's right here beside your knapsack.
Oh, gee, thanks. I must have left it there when I cleaned my rifle last night.
Sleeping bag ready?
Sure is. Boy, I hope he gets here soon. It's a long drive up to Canyon City.
Well, you know what your father's like.
Yeah.
Don't be too disappointed, Ken.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if he shouldn't get here at all.
Oh, but he's never let me down on a hunting trip, Mom.
No, that's true.
Other things, maybe, but never a hunting trip. Besides, this is a big one, way up in the mountains. Not just rabbits and stuff like that. This is for real hunting. He told me that on the phone. There he is.
Hiya, Kenny boy. How's the big white hunter? You ready for mountain lion?
He says that. I'm ready for anything.
Hello, Bert.
Hello, Bill.
Get your gear, Sahib. It's a two-day drive before we see the whites of their savage eyes.
I left my coat upstairs.
How you been, Ruth?
Fine. You?
Never better. The steam of your breath spells October out there, have you noticed?
I'm sure you'll both enjoy it.
You getting along all right?
Yes, thank you. I guess you're wondering why I let him go with you.
In a way.
Well, I don't know, Bill. Somehow, you seem to get a hold of yourself when you're out hunting with him. Of course, he's never done this big game thing before.
And you're worried about how responsible I'll be.
If you make me say it, yes.
I haven't had a drink for a month.
Good.
But you don't think it counts.
Okay, Dad. I've got everything. Jacket, rifle, knapsack, sleeping bag.
Kilimanjaro, here we come. Tired?
No.
You think a lot, don't you?
You always told me I should.
What about?
Lots of things.
Death and immortality.
Who cares about that stuff?
Ken, you don't resent me, do you?
Oh, you know.
No, I don't.
First thing you gotta remember, Dad, we used to be together. Now we're not. It's different.
I guess so. Remember when we first went hunting?
Oh, like rabbits and stuff.
Well, don't run it down. It was fun.
It's kid stuff.
Well, now you're a big game man, huh?
Well, you said I was.
I meant it. You know why?
Why?
Because I respect you.
You think you'll ever come back home?
You'd have to ask your mother.
Dad?
Yeah?
When did all that stuff start?
Oh, I don't know, Ken. The war, maybe. I drank a lot overseas. It was pretty hard to take where I was.
Guys dying?
Yeah, guys dying.
Guys you knew?
Guys I knew.
I guess I'll take a little nap, okay?
Pillow right there.
I'll get up soon.
Now that's a bunch of la-di-da you keep handing him. Guys dying, your tortured spirit. The most torture you went through was wondering where you could promote a quart.
Why don't you get off my back?
He's a smart kid. He knows what you've done to him and his mother. He hates your guts, and why not? So here you are, the two of you, way off in nowhere. You think you can take a week of this without a drink? You have a bottle hidden in your knapsack. What are you trying to prove? That you can do without it? You're getting the shakes already.
All right. Leave me alone. There we are. Plenty of tent for two men, huh?
Hey, Dad, catch.
What?
Knapsack.
Hey, wait!
Huh? What's the matter?
Nothing. I'll take it. I packed a jar of pickles. I don't know where.
You want me to find them?
No, it's all right. No. Get your sleeping bag ready.
Oh, boy. Smell that air, huh?
You like it, don't you, Kat?
Are they really out there? Elk and deer and all that stuff?
Sure are. Bear and mountain lion and all that stuff, too, if you really feel like playing for keeps. We'll get some shut-eye and strike out about dawn, okay?
We really going for mountain lion?
You feel up to it, don't you?
If you say so, just tell me when.
You're 16, Ken. Almost a man. You're a hunter, too. I watched you turn into one. That's why I've got confidence in you.
I guess I wouldn't have known anything without you.
Confidence is a big thing, Ken. When men are climbing mountains strapped to each other, they've got to have confidence, haven't they?
Boy, yeah. Boy, you got to believe in a guy to do that.
Well, we're not climbing mountains that way, but there's self-confidence, too, isn't there?
I guess so.
You know, I've been thinking, maybe when we get up in the morning, maybe we'll go separate ways.
Alone?
Well, you're a hunter. There's twice the chance of a kill.
Well, sure.
Well, I've got confidence in you. How do you feel?
Well, I know how to track, and I know how to pick out a bearing.
What's your bearing on this camp, right now, in the dark?
I watched it on the way up. If I go north, Jackson's Peak is over there.
Would you know how close or how far?
Sure. You said I'm a hunter. I could keep it in sight.
We'll talk about it in the morning.
Dad?
Yeah?
You're pretty good out here.
Good night, Ken.
Good night.
Pretty good out here. Well, I guess it's something anyway. Better than being nobody anywhere. When he was a baby, we didn't have problems like this. Even later, when he was 7. Oh, I was the guy then. But I knew I was sick. Why didn't I do something? Now he's almost a man. Hunting's a good thing for him. There's a kind of honor about it, an ethic, almost a mystique.
What are you holding on to?
What?
What are you holding on to inside the knapsack?
Well, the bottle, of course.
Okay. Good night.
Kenny? I'll make some coffee. Ken? Where is he? Ken? Where the devil is he?
What's that sitting over there on the rock?
Now, what the devil right did he have to do that? This bottle was in my knapsack under my head. You had to go fishing around like a thief in the night and drag it out? What right? And where the devil is he? Ken? Ken?
Now, wait. Don't start yelling. Maybe he just went off for wood. Maybe he put the bottle there looking for something else in your knapsack.
He's got no right to go off sore because of a bottle of liquor.
Now, wait. Hold it. You told him he could go.
But not sore, not angry, not hating me. What right did he have? The boy's got to learn some respect for me. I'll teach him respect.
Wait, you're all off. He's gone the way you told him to go. The bottle's got nothing to do with it. You said you'd go separate ways, and that's all he's done.
Why does he have to worry me this way? Well, one drink will be all right.
No, hold it. You can't drink with him out there alone. What if you have to go out and find him?
Worry. Where is he? Ken, is that you? Pheasant. 6 hours now. Should have come back for lunch. That kid will drive me crazy. Those ridges are treacherous. One misstep and... Suppose he wounded something big. A bear, a mountain lion. He could get himself clawed to death. A kid like that takes chances, especially the way he may be feeling. Why did he have to pull that bottle out and set it up like an advertisement of what he knew? Everybody knows something about somebody. Is he something special because he knows? He's some kind of judge? I don't need a judge. I don't even know if he's lost or run away. What am I supposed to do? He told me he could take a bearing on Jackson's Peak, but the air up here does peculiar things to distances. You don't know where you are. Oh, what I need is a drink. Where the devil is he? Ken! Ken!
No, don't do that. If you scare off the game, you'll lose face with him as a hunter. It's about the only thing you've got left.
What was that? Ken! Oh, all right, I'll follow the sound. There's my rifle.
Thank heaven you know something about this.
Now, wait a minute. There are hunters all over these mountains. That didn't have to be Ken.
Well, look for him anyway.
And leave the camp? If he comes back and there's nobody here, we'd really be lost from each other.
All right, don't panic. Write him a note. Tell him to stay put when he gets here. Don't tip that you're worried. Just say you went out for game. Tell him to wait.
Where'll I put it?
Under the bottle on the rock.
Oh, good idea. Show him it hasn't been opened. Casual. Just where he left it. Show him it's a question of faith. Teach him faith.
Uh-oh, you've got nerves. You going out there without a drink? This is a bad situation.
I know. But lately I don't know what a drink's going to do. I can get swagged on a thimbleful. Maybe I'd never get to him.
All right. Put the bottle in your knapsack. What are you going to do with the note?
Let's take it on a twig. Drive it into the ground. There it is. A little white flag. You can't miss it.
Now get going. Find him.
Ken? Kenny! It's night. He doesn't know big game at night. A lion could leap off a bluff and... Ken! Ken! What's that? A campfire! Hurry. Looks like him to set up somewhere. Let me stew. Pulling that bottle out that way. What did you want me to do? Drive me crazy? Has he got a right to be some kind of avenging angel? We're going to have a long talk. Ken?
What's the matter, Mac?
What?
Looking for somebody? Oh, my boy. I thought this was his camp. Is he with you?
Oh, we got no kids, just me and Joe.
Huh?
The rest are out after elk. Hiya, Mac.
Why, I don't know. Do you mind if I sit down? My boy, 16. Dawn this morning, he went off. He said he could bear on Jackson's Peak, but I haven't seen him since. It's 12 hours now, 12 hours. I've got to find him, you know?
Sure, Mac. Take it easy. Look, we got 9 guys in this party. Game they can always hunt. We'll find the kid.
Oh, would you? Would you help me? Would you?
But besides, the Rangers got a helicopter.
Please, they've got to find him. They've got to.
You're a wreck, fella. What you need is a nice drink.
Yeah, maybe.
No service. Just a bottle.
Oh, thanks.
What's the matter?
Maybe I better not.
Whatever you say.
I've got to find him.
Sure, Mac. Don't worry.
These are nice guys. Really nice.
Besides, you've got your own bottle.
Joe, you go on up the canyon.
Okay.
We'll search at the bottom of the trail here. He fell off the ridge.
No, don't say that. Please, don't.
Sorry.
All night long. Where is he?
Well, it's light enough for the helicopter now. That thing gets around.
They've got to find him. They've got to. He's all I've got. He's my boy.
Try to get hold of yourself. I'll be down by the creek if you need me.
Yeah, sure.
If he's dead, I'll never get hold of myself. Never again.
Oh, brother, if you ever needed a drink.
Why does that thing keep beating up there? It's like some nightmare played over and over. Stop it. Like the machine guns at Lingayen when everybody got mowed down. What a day that was. Blood everywhere.
Oh, shut up.
What?
If you're gonna drink, then drink. But stop using that cheap excuse of the war. Go on, get drunk if you have to. There are plenty of other guys searching for Ken. You'd never be missed.
All right. All right, just enough to get a hold of myself. Oh, baby, how I need you. Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean, other guys?
Nobody else can find him. That's your job. Yours and his. You've got to find each other, and nobody else can help. You understand? Only you. Only you. Only you.
Only me, eh? Only me? All right.
There! Can't. Can't.
Ken? That you, Ken?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mac. I just came up to your camp to see if he showed up.
Oh. Oh, the search party's quit, hasn't it?
Well, they've called off the helicopter.
And the hunters?
Look, you're just killing yourself with worry.
Why not?
Ah, this is no good. Now, here, take a drink of this. It'll help you get hold of yourself.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If he's gone, there's not much else that matters. Thanks.
Now, take a good slug of it. Here, look. I'll leave the bottle. I'll go and find Marty.
He's right. Go on. Take a good one. Cop out. It's what you've always done. He was just a boy. Wipe it out. A life for a drink. This is the best you can do for him. Wipe it out.
Thanks. Just the same. I think I'll make some coffee. What was that?
Dad? Ken! Oh, boy. Oh, Ken. Ken, my boy. Where have you been? Where have you been?
About everywhere, I guess.
Oh, Ken.
Oh, boy. Gee, I'm tired.
Am I glad to see you?
You know, I must have walked 100 miles.
Yeah, sit down. Sit down by the fire. Tell me, what happened?
Well, like I told you, I was taking my bearing from Jackson's Peak, but when the sun started to come up, the peak got kind of lost.
Well?
I kept following where I thought it was, but... Well, I was bearing on the pass all the time.
Oh,
gee, it must be 40 miles away. And all the time I kept thinking I was coming back. Oh, gee, Dad, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right, boy. You're here.
Yeah. I just went out to think about some things. I didn't mean to stay so long.
Okay, okay. You get your thinking done?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so did I. From now on, we're going to have some rules, some big rules.
Boy, I guess we need them.
And for the rest of the trip, nobody gets out of sight, you understand? Nobody goes off alone.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wonders where the other guy is. We're going to know all the time where we are. We're going to know where we are together, you understand? All the time.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. You want some coffee?
Okay.
Theater 5 has presented The Hunters, written by Richard McCracken, produced and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, George Petrie, Fran Carlin, Peter Fernandez, Jack Hurdle, and Marco Daniels. Audio engineers Neil Pultz and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. I hope you will forgive the intrusion, and I hope that you have been enjoying Broken Sea Audio Productions' OTR Swagcast. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
There has been a marriage announcement at Collinwood. And now, in the untroubled light of day, there is an air of contentment in the great house. But a certain reaction to the marriage announcement has caused one man to believe he knows and can reveal the nature and the source of the evil we have experienced here at Collinwood.
Well, this is for Kevin. Let me talk to Mr. Blair, please. Blair? Any word from London yet? Well, who'd you talk to? I see. No, we don't have to meet on this. Just give me the notes you took. But tell me something first. Is the guy you spoke to the last word on birth records in London? You're positive he keeps all the official records? Okay. Now, what about the name Niall Bradford? 130 years ago. And there's been no one by that name living in London since then? Blair, you're absolutely sure about this. You've got this straight. I can't afford to make a mistake here. Okay, thanks. Yeah, I'll be in touch. Sorry to have kept you waiting, Bert. It's all right. Is that bad news of some kind? No. No, in a way it was good news.
You don't look very happy about it.
Well, on the contrary, I'm just mystified. It isn't every day I find a 130-year-old skeleton in somebody's closet.
Talk to me about a skeleton in somebody's closet.
No. No, I came here to talk to you about Maggie Evans.
Well, what about it?
Well, I'd like to review her whole case with you from the beginning.
Why?
Well, I have my reasons. I'd rather not go into them now. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind. It's just that I'm pretty busy with patients this afternoon, Bert.
I understand. I don't want to upset your schedule. Look, would you have any objections to my going through Maggie's files?
Oh, no, Burke, I can't let you do that. I mean, patients' files are confidential. Strictly. Look, I'll be glad to help you in any way I can if you just tell me what all this is about.
But it's just a hunch I have, Dave, a way-out hunch. I'm not sure I could explain it to you even if I tried. So I better not try until I have more to go on.
Do you mean that you have a lead on who the kidnapper is?
I don't know. I'd like you to tell me a little more about Maggie's neck wound, if you can.
Burke, listen, you know as much about that as I do.
Have you ever come to any conclusions as to what caused the wound?
Well, the blood sample we took never got analyzed because, as you know, it was stolen.
And it was never recovered.
That's right. Now, my medical opinion at the time was that the wounds on Maggie's neck were inflicted by the bite of some kind of animal.
And you've had no reason to alter your opinion?
No, none at all.
Now, you've also gone on the assumption that Maggie was kidnapped. Now, that couldn't have been done by an animal. I mean, the abductor had to be a human being, right?
Well, of course.
Well, then the all-important question is, are the two things, the abduction and the neck wound, directly related to one another?
It seemed to me that they'd have to be.
Well, why? Isn't it possible that Maggie escaped from her abductor and then was attacked by a wild animal?
Look, Burke, I'm perfectly prepared to accept anything as a possibility, but we're still faced with the fact that the wounds on Maggie's neck were, well, they were not the bite of any animal indigenous to this area.
You're absolutely sure about that?
100%. Burke, listen. If you have reason to suspect anybody, you are obligated to go with that reason to the sheriff.
I didn't say I suspected anybody.
Well, you obviously are onto something that none of the rest of us are aware of.
No. No, I'm afraid I'm not.
Well, then why this sudden interest in reviewing Maggie's whole case?
I told you, Dave, it's just a hunch, that's all.
Look, I don't care what you want to call it. I don't think you have any choice. You have got to go with this idea or hunch or whatever you want to call it to the sheriff.
When and if the right time comes, I will. Don't worry.
I will worry, because the maniac that we're after is still on the loose somewhere. Now, who his next victim will be is anybody's guess. Burke, whether your hunch is far-fetched or not, don't waste time before you take it to the right person.
I intend to follow this through until I get results, or until I've decided that I'm way off base.
Still don't understand why you won't at least talk to me about it now.
Dave, you just referred to the kidnapper as that wild maniac we're after.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's possible that everyone is coming to the wrong conclusions in this case.
What do you mean?
Well, the image everyone has is of some wild, mentally deranged, horrible monster who's roaming around the community. Suppose that image is wrong, which I think it is. Suppose the man we're looking for is an outwardly calm, sane, respected member of the community. Like who? Like yourself. Or like me. Or like 100 other people we know. Someone we see and speak to every day. Someone we'd never suspect of kidnapping an innocent girl.
I guess your hunch is pretty far-fetched.
I'm not saying I'm right, Dave. I'm only saying the possibility can't be overlooked.
I said not now.
Hey, what's the matter?
What's the matter? I'm getting tired of all the high living and excitement around here.
All right, now take it easy.
Take it easy? Well, that's a great piece of advice. I've done little else for the whole week, but take it easy. Pass the time of day, and then I pass the time of night. And then what? Time to pass the time of day again. I'm getting sick of it.
Look, I know how boring all of this must be for you, but you gotta understand that you're...
You and Pop are the ones that have got to understand that I've got to start living a normal, active life again. Can't sit around and vegetate the rest of my life.
Nobody expects you to.
I feel like a prisoner. Never thought I'd feel that way in my own house.
Maggie, you're not a prisoner. And there's no reason for you to feel that way.
Well, why not? I'm not allowed out of the house. And you and Pop never let me out of your sight.
Because we don't want to lose you again.
You're not going to lose me. Nothing's happened yet, has it?
No, but that doesn't mean that the danger has gone away. You still have to be protected, Maggie.
From what? I wish somebody could tell me that.
Well, if you knew the answer to that, there wouldn't be any problem, would there?
Well, all right, then. Why don't we try and figure it out? I'll do anything just to get out of this as soon as possible.
Maggie... We've been over it 1,000 times, and all we keep doing is reaching dead ends. And all we know is that you were kidnapped, you were missing for 2 weeks, and that you were finally found wandering along the beach near Widow's Hill.
Why don't we start there?
It's no use, Maggie. As long as your memory of what happened is blocked, all we can do is wait until the sheriff solves the case, and in the meantime, keep you very well protected.
Well, if anything more were going to happen to me, it would happen to me at night, wouldn't it, like the other time?
Well, that'd be the most likely time, yeah.
It would be the only time. Now, I can't believe that if I went back to the Collinsport Inn to get my job back, that anything would happen.
You can't think about getting your job back, yeah? We just can't take that chance.
But we wouldn't be taking a chance. Now, I can arrange to get on the day shift. No one is going to attack and abduct me in broad daylight in the middle of Collinsport.
Both of your doctors say that you're still too weak to go back to work.
Then both doctors are wrong. Physically, I've never felt better in my whole life.
All right, but nevertheless, I still think that we should follow their orders.
Joe, I'm going to go crazy if I stay here any longer.
Sorry, Maggie, but you just got to be patient. Trust us to know what we're doing. Right now, that's the only way.
All right, Joe. I'll be patient. For a little while, anyway. Well, we might as well be really racy and have another card game.
All right, but I'm feeling lucky.
Say, Joe, how did Dr. Hoffman get involved in this case anyway?
Well, Dr. Woodard thought she'd be the best person to treat you. That was at the time when your memory was gone completely.
But do you really think that her treatment is helping my memory back to where it is?
Well, according to her and Woodard, it's been very effective. Yeah, why?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just wondering about it, that's all. She seems like such a strange person. You know, it may seem silly, but I feel a kind of coldness whenever she comes near me. Probably just my imagination. What's the name of the game?
I'll get it.
Burke, come on in.
Hi, Joe. I hope I'm not dropping by at a bad time.
No, not at all. Good to see you.
Hi, Burke.
Hi, Maggie. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes if you feel up to it.
Oh, I'd be delighted. You may not know it, but you represent a welcome change of pace. No offense, sweetheart.
She's getting a little bored with her protectors.
What did you want to talk to me about?
Well, I was wondering if your memory had gotten any better since the night that we took you to Dr. Woodard's office.
Hey, Burke.
Well, look, I just talked to Dr. Woodard, and he doesn't mind my questioning Maggie, as long as I don't take too long.
Well, I'm afraid the whole thing is academic anyway. I don't remember any more now than I did that night in Woodard's office.
Well, I think the curious thing is that you remember less now than you did then.
What are you talking about?
Well, Dr. Woodard said that the night we took you there, he questioned you privately, and you came very close to identifying the person who kidnapped you.
I did.
You don't remember that, huh?
No, of course not. I didn't understand it.
Well, neither does Dr. Woodard. He says that night he was convinced the whole case would be blown wide open. And then suddenly you retrogressed to the point where you lost your memory completely.
Well, did Dr. Woodard say what I told him that night?
Yes. Yes, he did, and I'd like to repeat some of it to you now, if you don't mind.
Of course not. Maybe it'll help bring my memory back.
Well, that's what I was hoping. He said that you remembered being in a house, locked in a special room. There was someone else in that house. Someone who wanted you to die.
Wanted me to die?
You said that someone came into the room. It was a man.
Man?
You remember he came closer to you and closer to you.
I don't remember a man.
And then his face came into the light. And you saw it. You knew who it was. You knew that face.
Burke, what happened then?
Well, then Dr. Woodard said that another doctor came into the room and the interruption broke Maggie's train of thought.
I don't remember anything. I don't know why none of it came back.
And nothing's happened in the past week that's jarred your memory in any way?
Not a thing.
Actually, nothing's happened at all. Aside from a few friends, Maggie's been kept very quiet.
Well, what friends has she had in?
Just Vicky Winters and a couple people from town.
Barnabas Collins dropped by.
Barnabas Collins?
Yes, he said he was just passing by and he decided to drop in and pay his respects.
I guess I'm no further along than I was before.
Further along with what?
Oh, just a hunch I had. Nothing concrete.
Bert, there was one thing.
What?
Well, it's not something that I remember exactly.
Well, what is it?
I just remember something that keeps going through the back of my mind. I don't even know what it means. It's just something that I keep hearing in my mind.
Keep hearing?
The music.
What kind of music?
I can't identify it, but it's like a light, playful tune, a soft, tinkling sound.
And you have no idea what it means?
No.
Well, I don't see how the sound of soft music could have anything to do with the kind of terrifying experience Maggie's been through.
Maybe it doesn't have any connection. Maybe it's just something I remember from my childhood.
Maybe. Maybe not. At this point, I don't think we should discount even the smallest evidence.
Your chauffeur has arrived and is at your service.
And he's also late. It's the second time in a row, Burke Devlin. It better not turn into a habit.
I promise it won't. I've been doing a lot of running around today.
Business?
Oh, no, not business this time.
What is it?
Well, I've been doing a little private state work.
On what?
Well, you ask altogether too many questions.
Well, of course I do. If I'm going to be a successful wife, I'd better start practicing.
Now, you better go upstairs and put on a sweater. It might be a little chilly out by the ocean.
Are we going to take a drive along the shore?
Well, I thought we'd go take a look at the house. We've never seen it in the daytime, you know.
Wonderful. I'll be with you in just a minute.
Where are you going?
Oh, I want to put this back in my room.
Oh, what is it?
My music box. You've seen it before, don't you remember?
Yes, that's the one Barnabas gave you.
You sound like a jealous fiancé.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I can imagine that a lot of men have envied Barnabas for his charm.
Well, not me, I assure you. Barnabas and I are in two separate worlds.
Well, anyway, it's a lovely present. But, you know, there's been something strange about it lately.
Strange?
I don't know. It's almost as though it had a mind of its own.
A mind of its own? Vicky, will you please stop being so mysterious?
Look, you take everything I say so literally.
Well, that's another habit I developed in business. Now, all I see there is a plain, ordinary, everyday music box with no mind at all, let alone one of its own.
Well, this plain, ordinary, everyday music box, it's been acting in a funny way lately.
A funny way?
Yes. I close it when I go to sleep. And then, on several occasions, in the morning when I wake up, it's playing. It happened again today.
I see. Would you mind playing it for me now?
Why?
Oh, I just like to hear it, that's all.
All right.
A light, almost playful kind of music.
What?
Huh? Oh, nothing. I wonder why Barnabas gave you that thing.
Well, I suppose because he's a very thoughtful man.
Yes. Yes, a very thoughtful man indeed.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Come on, let's get going.
You know, you do sound as though you are jealous.
Well, you're wrong. I just happen to have more than my share of curiosity, that's all.
About what?
About the light, tinkling sounds of a plain, ordinary, everyday music box.
Is a Dan Curtis production.
The sun has begun to rise in a blue-gray sky above Collingwood. This is the dawn of a new day. This will be a day of ever-mounting terror for two people. One woman already possesses a secret that would destroy her. One man is close to learning that secret.
unaware that he is courting his own destruction.
At this hour of the morning?
I know it's early, but I have to see him. It's very important.
Well, I'll take a message.
I have to see Mr. Collins personally.
Now, that is impossible.
Why not?
He isn't here. Oh?
Where is he?
I don't know. He left early this morning. He didn't say where he was going.
You're lying.
What?
I said you're lying. I saw him come into this house before sunrise this morning. He never came back out.
You've been spying on him.
Well, I've been watching him.
Why?
Because I find Mr. Collins a very odd person. And the same goes for you.
Well, look, neither one of us ever did anything to you. Mr. Collins isn't here, so why don't you just go away?
I'm not going anyplace. I know Collins is in this house, and I'm going to see him. And you're not going to stop me.
Tell you, he isn't here.
I'll see about that. Collins! Collins!
Go ahead, yell your lungs out. He isn't here.
Collins!
Go ahead, yell some more. Won't do you any good. There's nobody here to answer. Why don't you go upstairs and search the rooms?
I just might.
No, you won't find anything up there except a bunch of empty rooms.
Where is he?
I told you, I don't know.
If he'd left this house, I'd have seen him.
Well, not necessarily. Maybe he went out the back way.
Maybe.
Hey, no, he does that sometimes. Maybe he did it this morning.
After being out all night?
Mr. Collins doesn't sleep much. Some people don't. I see him go to work without any sleep at all.
Work where?
Different places. Clearwater, Bangor. He has business deals all over.
What business deals?
I don't know. I only work from you. I have to ask him.
I have asked him. I can't get any answers.
Why are you so curious about Mr. Collins? What's he ever done to you?
Nothing. I'm just a very curious guy.
Curiosity could get people into trouble.
Is that a threat?
No. I think it'd be a smart idea to mind your own business.
So do I. In most cases.
Then leave Mr. Collins alone.
I don't intend to harm Mr. Collins. I just want to know more about him. A lot more. And I will.
Good morning, Vicky.
Have you had your breakfast yet?
Yes, about an hour ago.
Oh, you are an early riser.
I don't like to miss the best part of the day.
What's that?
Oh, it's the bonnet that David's little friend left behind. The little girl that was here the other day. She dropped it.
Yes. Funny she never came back to pick it up, isn't it?
Yes, isn't it?
You know, it was strange the way that she ran away before any of us even saw her.
Maybe she was just shy.
Maybe.
It's a shame she lost it.
Yes, it is. You know, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this before.
No, neither have I.
certainly isn't what little girls are wearing these days. I wonder why her parents would dress her so strangely.
Yes, I wonder.
Gosh, it must have taken someone hours to do this. Look how intricate the needlework is. It's all done by hand.
Yes.
Well, they certainly don't make things like this nowadays. If I didn't know better, I'd think...
What?
Well, I think that this was from another time. Another place. Another century.
But this couldn't be a family heirloom. It's brand new. Has David seen the little girl since the other day?
Well, if he has, he hasn't mentioned it to me.
I see.
Miss Winters? Hi, David.
Hello, David.
Hello.
Have you finished your breakfast?
Well, yes. All except my toast. You know I hate burnt toast.
All right, David.
Can we go now?
Okay.
Where are you going?
We're going for a walk. I promised David I'd take him for a walk.
Why don't I take David for a walk?
You?
Well, Miss Winters probably has things to do, and I'd like to take you for a walk.
You would?
Yes, I like going for walks, and I'd like to get to know you better.
Well, that would be wonderful, but don't you have work to do?
Well, I can do that later.
Well, in that case, I do have some things I have to do.
Good. Then you go on. David and I will be fine, won't we?
Sure. All right. I'll see you later. Thank you, Julia.
Where do you want to walk?
Oh, I thought we'd go look for your little friend.
My friend?
Sarah.
Oh. Well, why do you want to look for her?
She left her box here the other day. I think we ought to return it to her.
Well, I don't know whether we'll be able to find her. Sometimes I can't.
We can try.
Well, I don't even know whether I want to. I'm mad at her.
Why?
For running away that night. It was a dumb thing to do.
She was probably just shy. But I'm sure she's sorry she lost her bonnet.
It's a funny-looking thing. I wonder why she wears it.
Let's go look for her,
I know a place where I can usually find Sarah, if she's around.
Oh, will you show me where it is?
Of course.
Good.
Come on. I can usually find her if she's around. So, I guess she isn't around today.
She may be nearby. Try calling her.
Sarah? Sarah? I don't hear anything. I guess she isn't around.
Try calling her again.
Sarah? Nope, no use. She isn't around today.
She might appear if we wait for her.
Well, I don't want to wait for her.
We should.
Why?
To give her a bonnet.
Well, if she wanted it so much, she could have come to me for it. Besides, I can give it to her the next time I see her.
I'd like to meet her.
Why? What's so special about her?
She's a friend of yours. That makes her special.
Well, she isn't really a friend of mine. I mean, she's just a kid I play with sometimes.
Mm. Tell me about her.
Well... What for?
Oh, I may have seen her once and not known it.
Well, she's got long hair.
What color?
Brown, I guess.
And what else?
Well, she's got sort of sad eyes.
Sad eyes?
That's the only way I can describe them.
I see. When you're together, what do you talk about?
Oh, I don't know what we talk about. Just... things.
What kind of things?
Well, we play games and stuff like that.
Can't you be more specific?
Well, I don't understand why you want to know.
Well, I don't. Not really. I
just heard something.
Did you?
Yeah. Maybe it's Sarah after all. Let's go see.
All right.
say anything?
No.
Neither can I. I guess I was wrong.
Apparently.
Well, let's not wait around here. Let's take a walk to Widow's Hill.
All right.
Come on.
David.
Yes?
Weren't you holding the bonnet?
Yes, I put it down. That's funny. I put it down right there. I know I did. But it isn't there anymore. It's gone.
That was a very nice walk, David. Thank you.
Oh, that's okay. You wait right here and I'll go get it.
All right.
Oh. You enjoy your walk with David?
Yes, we had a very nice walk. He's gone upstairs to find his stamp collection. He wants to show it to me.
I'm glad you two are getting along so well.
Oh, he's very easy to get along with. He's a very intelligent child.
Yes, he is.
Hello, Vicky.
I didn't expect to see you at this time of day.
I have to see you. I have to talk to you. It's very important.
Come in.
Well, we can't talk here. Let me take you into town.
I'm not sure that I can get away.
But you've got to.
I'll look after David, if you like.
Well, if it's no inconvenience to you.
Well, it's not an inconvenience. I have to stay here and work anyway.
Thank you. I just want to get my sweater. I'll be right back.
Okay. Thanks for taking over for Vicky, Miss Hoffman. I appreciate it.
Glad to do it.
How's the book coming?
Oh, splendidly.
Are you still spending a lot of time in the old house?
Oh, occasionally. I've collected quite a lot of valuable material there.
Cigarette?
Thank you.
Tell me something, will you?
What?
What's your opinion of Barnabas Collins?
My opinion?
Yes. What do you think of him?
Oh, well, he's been very kind and helpful to me.
Don't you think he's kind of odd?
Odd? In what way?
In almost every way.
I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, for one thing, have you ever seen him in the daytime?
Why, yes.
When?
Oh, on several occasions. Why?
Well, because nobody else has. And I find that hard to explain.
Well, he's a very busy man during the day. He has numerous business matters to attend to.
Yes, that's what Willie said, but I don't quite buy it.
Willie?
Yes, I had a little talk with him a few minutes ago. And, his answers to my questions weren't very satisfactory.
I don't know what you're getting at, Mr. Devlin.
I'm not sure.
But you are hinting at something.
Well, let's just say that I get, strange vibrations from Barnabas Collins, and, well, I thought maybe you might be getting them, too.
Why do you say that?
Well, you did agree that Vicky shouldn't go to the old house too often, and I thought you might have a reason for it.
Yes, I did. I thought Vicky's preoccupation with the past was bad for Vicky. That's why. It had nothing to do with Mr. Collins.
Nothing. At all?
No. If Mr. Collins is in any way unique, it's because he's a perfect gentleman. And that is unique. I've grown very fond of Mr. Collins.
I see.
I don't know what you're thinking about, but whatever it is, I'm sure you're quite wrong.
Maybe so. Isn't it odd how much he looks like
the portrait of his ancestor.
Yes, the family resemblance is striking.
It's more than striking. It's almost uncanny.
I'm all set, sir.
Good. Shall we go?
I'll be back soon, Julia.
What?
I said I'll be back soon.
Oh. All right.
Goodbye, Miss Hoffman.
Followed Barnabas to the house.
Yeah, just before sunrise. He saw him go inside and waited for him to come out. That's how he knew he was still here, because he never came up.
What did he say to you?
Well, I told him he must have gone out the back way.
Did he believe you?
I don't know, I'm not sure.
What else did he say?
Well, he asked all kinds of questions about Barnabas.
What questions?
He wanted to know what he does during the day, what kind of business deals he has, where he goes.
What did you tell him?
I told him I don't know much about that.
Well, why did you say that?
Well, it seemed like a logical thing to say. Why only work for Barnabas? Why would he discuss his business deals with me?
She's been able to think of a lie more convincing, something that would have put him off the track entirely.
Well, I did the best I could. He caught me off guard.
I've got to do something. I've got to stop him from getting more suspicious.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I only know that I've got to do something. Devlin's suspicions could ruin everything. Everything.
Couple of coffee,
please. Where do you want to go? Oh, just anywhere. Fine. All right, Burke. Now we're here and we're alone. What is it you've got to talk to me about?
Vicki, I have to ask you to do something for me.
What?
Well, before I tell you, I have to warn you, you won't understand.
I won't understand.
But I still want you to do it.
Bert, you're being awfully mysterious.
Well, I have to be. I can't explain. You simply have to trust me. You do trust me, don't you?
You know I do. But I wish you'd tell me what this is all about.
Vicki, I want you to promise me that you won't go to the old house. Not even go near it.
The old house?
But most important, I want you to stay away from Barnabas Collins.
Barnabas, but...
I told you I can't explain, Vicki. But I have reasons. Good reasons. Now remember, you're not to go near the old house. And most important of all, you're to stay away from Barnabas Collins. Stay away from Barnabas Collins.
Thank you.
Dark Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
There are those who conceal horrible secrets in hiding places that are undreamed of. They feel secure in the knowledge that they will never be found out. But sometimes discovery comes from a source that they would never suspect, a source that they would never believe existed.
I've been down by the ocean, skipping rocks on the waves.
That sounds like fun.
If I'd known where you live, I could call for you, and you could come too. Where do you live, Sarah?
Oh, I'd like to tell you, David, but I can't.
Why not?
Because it's very hard to explain. Very, very hard to explain.
Why are you keeping it such a big secret?
Because it has to be.
Well, I like secrets. I really do. And if you want to, you can keep yours a secret. But I would like to know what it is.
Well, I can't tell you that one, but I can tell you lots of others.
Well, how about one that you can tell me?
I told you one once.
Which one?
Remember the one about my friend Maggie Evans? I told you she was alive?
That's right, you did.
That was a good one.
No one believed me when I told them. And boy, were they surprised when Maggie came back. You know, that's the best kind of secret to have. The kind that nobody will believe.
Oh, I know lots like that.
You know, I think that's what I like about you. Everything is such a big secret. Some people have even asked questions about you.
Have they?
Yes.
What kind of questions?
Oh, questions like who you were and where you live.
What'd you tell them?
Well, just what I know. Nothing. And it's true. I don't know a thing about you.
You still like me though, don't you?
I said I did. Well, I sure would like to know why you're so mysterious.
Because I have to be.
If you have to be, you have to be. Well, it's getting sort of late now. I have to go.
Can't you stay and play with me for a little while?
No. I'd like to, Sarah. But they're expecting me.
Please, just for a little while.
Well, Sarah, it's dinner time. Well, don't you ever have to go home to dinner?
No, I don't.
Well, you're sure lucky. Don't you ever have to, can you stay out as long as you want, or?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't ever have to go home? You're lucky, I really say so. But if I ever stayed out that late, you know, I'd get murdered. I'll see you, Sarah.
Please, David, don't go.
Well, I have to. You're not afraid to stay here, are you?
No, it's just that I hate to be alone.
For someone who hates to be alone, I sure never see you with anybody.
Please, David, if you play with me now, I'll take you to a good place to play.
A good place to play? What do you mean?
Well, a special place.
Special place?
A secret place that nobody knows about.
A secret place around here? Well, I know all the places around here.
Well, no, not around here.
Well, does it take long to see?
Not if we take a shortcut.
Well, you're sure no one knows about it.
No one but me.
And I'll take you there, too.
Where is this place?
Eagle Hill.
You mean up where the cemetery is?
Yes.
Well, I think we'll make it, if we hurry. Come on, Sarah, show me where it is.
Good evening, Willie.
Well, hello, Barnabas. You're later than usual.
Yes, I know.
Anything the matter?
Yes.
What is it?
Where is Dr. Hoffman?
Well, she was here earlier today. She said she'd be back tonight. Is anything wrong?
I feel strange.
What do you mean?
I can't say exactly, but something is affecting me.
Well, you mean the cause of the experiment?
Well, it can only be that. I'm forced to make a decision. Should I allow myself to be Dr. Hoffman's guinea pig or not?
Well, it's worth trying, isn't it? There's a lot to be gained.
There's a lot to be lost. I may have to call it off. My existence will have to continue as it was. There's too much at stake. I cannot allow myself to be incapacitated by this experiment. It could lead to my downfall.
I didn't think anything could happen to you.
And I intend to see that it doesn't. There's something else that's troubling me. Something that is more complex than anything I've ever experienced.
Who was that?
Sarah. Little Sarah. I don't understand her presence. I don't understand it at all.
That must be Dr. Hoffman.
Let her in.
Good evening, Willie.
Hello.
Is he here?
Inside.
Good evening, Barnabas.
Good evening. Forgive me for not rising.
Of course. How do you feel tonight?
Not well, Doctor.
Oh? What's the matter?
Well, something's happening to me, and I don't like it. I would say that it is connected with the experiment you're conducting.
I see that it's taking effect.
Is it? Then I'd like to know what it is and what it means.
Of course. I have to do a series of tests anyway. We'll see what the progress is.
If indeed there is any progress at all.
Well, there is. We're making progress, I know it.
We'd better be, Doctor. We'd better be.
Come downstairs and let's start the test.
I'll be down in a moment.
All right, then I'll prepare things.
I don't trust her. We better be on our guard, particularly now. I don't understand these injections. They could be harmful. I want you to remember something. If for one moment you suspect that what she's doing could be something like that, you must destroy her. You understand?
I understand.
Home. Sarah, it's late enough.
Here I am.
I just looked over there, and you weren't there. You always seem to just pop up. Where were you hiding?
I was right behind you.
Well, if you keep disappearing, I'm going to head for home.
Oh, no, David, please don't.
What'd you bring me to this place for?
Because this is it.
You mean, this is where you play?
Sometimes.
Well, it's a pretty creepy place. Do you have friends to play here with you?
No, no one ever plays with me here. You're the only one I've ever taken here.
You mean, you come in here alone?
Yes.
God. What's so secret about this? I mean, anybody can come in here if they want to.
Oh, but this isn't a secret.
It isn't? Where is the secret?
Over there.
Over there?
Sure, come on.
Hey, do you know what this is?
This is the Collins family tomb.
That's right. And your secret place is in there?
Yes.
Mean, you come in and out of there?
Yes. And I want you to come in with me, now.
I don't know, Sarah.
Come on, David. Follow. Let's go in.
I don't know, Sarah. It's not right.
It's all right. Come on.
Well, the door must be locked.
No. Open it. All right. Now let's go in.
I've made an analysis of the test results. I'm certain you'll be pleased.
And are you, Teague?
Yes.
I was quite sure you'd say that.
What do you mean?
You couldn't possibly give me a bad report.
Well, I would if I had to.
I doubt that.
Are you suggesting that I'm lying to you? That I'd lead you on and make you believe that your condition was improving?
I'm suggesting just that. I'm suggesting that you'd say or do anything to continue these experiments.
I am a doctor. I wouldn't waste my time like that.
But to fail in this would be to fail totally.
No, we're already beyond that point. Things have begun to happen, good things. The facts bear it out.
How can I be sure of your facts?
Because of the changes in you, the sensations you're experiencing. I've altered the cellular structure of your blood cells. You're feeling it through your entire circulatory system. This is a strong indication that the experiments are succeeding. Oh, I only wish you could appreciate what I've accomplished.
I wish I could, too.
Everything I believe is at stake.
So is your life, Doctor. So is your life.
Is it necessary for you to continually threaten me? I know the status of our relationship.
Well, if you know that, then we have no problem.
What can I do so that you can trust me?
You can tell me how long these experiments will continue.
I can't be certain, but I'm getting closer to it. I'll be checking your progress more frequently, and you'll be able to judge yourself.
I must tell you that if I feel that there's any further weakening, I'll have to say that the experiments are true.
Why are you so concerned with temporary weakness?
Because I have something to do. Something that will require all my strength.
What?
I have to deal with a situation. A person. Someone who has come into my way.
I assume you're referring to Burke Devlin.
Yes, I am.
Barnabas, don't risk killing now. Not when we're so close to success.
But he's interfering with my plans. He's beginning to be suspicious of me. He's asking questions. He's got to be removed.
Well, if Burke Devlin is interfering with your plans, then he's interfering with mine. I can't let this happen.
Then I see we agree on something.
Yes, we do. Devlin has to be taken care of, but the method is something else. I don't believe that violence is the answer. I believe that Burke Devlin can be gotten off the track. Please, let me handle him.
Then do it, Doctor. Not only for his sake, but for yours.
Well, gee, Sarah, it's interesting and all that, but what can you do here? I mean, what kind of games do you play?
It isn't much fun, because I'm mostly all alone. But now that you're here, it'll be better.
Well, what do you do here?
Oh, sometimes I just come here to sit and think. Sometimes I come here to cry.
I don't want you to cry, Sarah.
Oh, I won't cry. Not now, because you're my friend.
I'm trying to be your friend, but I don't know anything about you.
I'm proving to be a big good friend by bringing you here.
That's right. I know lots of kids that wouldn't share a secret like this.
Oh, this isn't sacred.
It isn't? Well, what is?
Come on, I'll show you.
What next?
See that lion's head?
Oh, yes.
Hold the ring in its mouth.
So pull the ring? Why?
You'll see. Just pull it.
I can't reach it.
Stand up on here.
But Naomi Collins is buried there.
That's okay. Stand up. Now pull the ring, David. Pull.
Coffin is another.
No, it's okay. I want you to see it.
Don't open it.
You have to say it.
Let go, Sarah.
I'm telling you, you have to say it.
Sarah, wait. Okay, I'll help you.
Good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.